Yeah, okay. First, I want to thank you, Pastor Mike, for allowing me this opportunity. Can you guys hear me okay? Oh. All right. First, I would like to thank you, Pastor Mike, for giving me this opportunity to have this testimony. Is that better? And I will do my best to keep it in 30 minutes. Okay, for several years, I have been impressed upon for the value and imperativeness of the armor of God. It has been my go-to fallback lesson if I am ever asked to present. I vary it with more details about a specific piece as God leads, but it's usually about the armor and our spiritual protection. Last year, around October, God led me to kneel in the aisle during our Sunday worship. As I did, I began to feel as if I was 40 feet tall. I felt that I was taller on my knees than I really am when I stand up. It excited me and encouraged me. It was then that I saw and felt God put my armor on permanently. I was elated. Next, he told me to get my sisters. So I asked him who, and his first person was Maria. So I opened my eyes and reached back to grab Maria, who was two pews behind me. I couldn't figure out why I wasn't able to reach her as I was so tall, and I really expected my arm to span the distance. I realized I wasn't so tall when I almost fell backwards, so I stood to get Maria, ripped her out of the pew, and had her kneel beside me. As God was leading me to get Maria, he was giving her a vision of a whirling tornado. I know you guys think that was me. I see no resemblance. As we obediently knelt, God told me I was missing someone. When I asked him who, he said Tracy. So being the considerate person that I am, I reminded God that she was leading worship and it would be inappropriate to drag her from the front. Needless to say, God gave me that didn't I tell you to do something look that only a parent can do, and I ran to drag Tracy from the front. As the three of us knelt in the aisle, I felt God's hand put his armor on us and anoint us warriors. I understood at that moment that I would not have to worry about making sure I had put my armor on, as it was now a permanent and unremovable piece of me. What followed was spiritual warfare. The devil tried to attack me in my emotions and perceptions. He caused me to doubt the effects of my fasting. He was trying to make me feel unaccepted, ill-equipped to pray and get the job done, having no power in my words. This was not a new attack, but it came from a very different angle and caught me completely off guard. The enemy was getting sneakier and more cunning in his attacks than he was before, which he does as we grow. In December, I read a book which included a chapter on fasting. This stated that even if we don't see any material effects or results from our fast in the spiritual realm, it is doing serious damage. This tiny nugget of information was not overlooked by me at all, and it caused me to repurpose my heart to continue fasting. By the end of December, I had begun to see results. This doubt I was experiencing was revealed as a spiritual attack, and I praise God that it didn't work. Just about this time, God was impressing upon me to continue to renew my thinking and be diligent about transforming my mind. Just as he had begun to renew my thoughts with his truth, I was blessed to present a Havram group. Well, what better timing to encourage others to do as God was encouraging me to do? This led me to do a small exercise with my Friday breakfast group about how we see ourselves, how others see us, and the truth about how God sees us. Because honestly, the only real way we are to see ourselves is how God sees us. We have been led through the cunnings of the enemy to believe lies about ourselves so as to preserve his illegal stronghold on us and to keep us from knowing the power that we actually have through Jesus to defeat him, his demons, and be victorious. God was impressing upon me to go back in my life and see where I had been suppressed, beaten down, disregarded, and abused. It was in these areas that Satan knew I was a severe threat to him. He saw the mark that God had put on me at birth, and he did his absolute best to destroy what God had created. In these areas, I would be able to give God the glory. It was what God put in my character that should have been nurtured to maturity by my age of accountability. It was what God intended to use in me to magnify his power and glory to others. In the areas that Satan tried to destroy, God continued to keep a hedge of protection around. Even if I was not able to be nurtured in these areas, God still gave me the grace to have them lay dormant and be nurtured later on in life. His word does not go out void, and it does accomplish what he sent it out to do. It has taken years of battle to come to this point in my life where you see me as God has originally intended for me to be. It is a submission of my free will to be his servant that allowed me to mature in faith and become his warrior. I am a frontline Marine. I am the David to the Goliath, the one that no one thinks has what it takes, but gets the job done efficiently and effortlessly. God has been working on me, being confident in him in my life, not on anything that I can do, but all that he does through me. He continues to encourage me to renew my mind and to see me as he sees me, to take hold of his truth and burn it in my heart and mind, thereby defeating every attack the enemy has to overpower me. My adversary will always come at me, whether directly or through an outside area. No matter what, God is teaching me to stand firmly rooted on his foundation of truth. Here, the floods can rise, the storms can rage, the waves can pound, but I am immovable. I am sure-footed in Christ. And he's reminding me that here I rest in him, and all I have to say is Daddy. Thank you.
Amen, amen. Want to ask Diana and Mike or?
Well, I didn't write everything down. It's just going to be like off the cuff, but you know, one of the things the Lord has dealt with us in the last few years, and that is getting us out of debt and in tithing. And when you make that decision to tithe, to give God what he's supposed to be getting, all hell breaks loose. And so just to give you, like maybe, I can't even tell you how long ago it was. It was maybe 5-6 years ago. We made finally the decision, and it was through a preacher, and what he had said was, when you really give your life fully to God, that's when you really, really tithe, because you know everything you have is God's. And, you know, when you get that paycheck and it goes up, and you know you have to give that 10% anyway, no matter what happens, you have to do that, okay? So we were doing that for several years. And let me tell you, in those several years, we had one financial trial after another. My husband had a heart attack, he was out of work, he lost a job. I could just tell you, the car broke down, whatever it was, there was always something financially that tested us. Pastor was talking about tithing as testing. Well, we were in a test, a long one, very long. And during that time, one of the scriptures that God had really used to minister to us was in James. James 1, 2, 3, I think it's count it all joy when you go through divers trials and temptations, for the trying of your faith worketh patience, and let patience have its perfect work. So every time somebody would come up to us and say, how are things? We didn't want to say, oh, we're in debt and we don't know how we're paying the bills this week. But we would say, counting it all joy. I'm counting it all joy. And, you know, we just kept going on and on. And so, and you all know as things happened. So in the midst of all of this, some of our issues were in our debt was relying on our credit cards too. We weren't fully relying on the Lord. And at one point, the Lord began to speak to us about not charging anything. By this time, well, we had a balloon of debt. So when the flood came, we didn't know what we were going to do. We had to give it all to God. But we were already praying. We had prayed earlier, right before the flood, that we would get out of debt. Lord, it looks so big, you say, without God's help, I can't see my way out of this. And so right before that happened, when God brought this to our realization, we had a very old dining room set. All the chairs were breaking. And we did a lot of entertaining with our family. And so we went out and we ordered a set, and we were charging it. When we saw that we were going to pay it off with no interest, we got a good deal with, you know, we were already attending this church at the time. And I started getting convicted. And the Holy Spirit kept saying to me, cancel the order, cancel the order. And I said to him, you know what, Mike? God's telling me we need to cancel the order. And he goes, are you crazy? We need a dining room set. The chairs are falling apart. I said, I don't know. I don't know. I'm telling you. I didn't have peace. So finally he gave in and said, okay, see what the guy says. Because it was like a few days before the... it was a few days. And I called the guy and I said, look, I just have to tell you, I just don't have peace about getting this set. I said, is it possible for us to cancel it? And he said, no problem. So, and this big weight came off me. I knew I had obeyed the Lord. So, not more than a month goes by when we had the flood. And the Lord spoke and said, see, I knew that flood was coming. You would have been throwing that dining room set out in the garbage with the rest of the furniture in the house. But let me just tell you what God did at that point. We owed, I would say, close to $200,000 between the mortgage and all the debt we had. The car, all the credit card.
It's slowly crept up. You don't see it coming up.
And we are now totally debt-free. We have money in the bank, and we still have property to sell, which we need God's wisdom on when to let it go. And I just want to tell you that when you ask God, I mean, I look at God's grace and mercy in this whole situation. It's nothing we did, but all I can tell you is we've been obedient. And the other scripture that God gave me while I was sitting in this church, because it's been over a year, we're still waiting for this chapter of our life to come to an end with this whole situation with the house and where we're going to end up. And we've given it all to God. If you want us in the apartment, Lord, the property's yours, you know, but we just want to be good, you know, I don't know what the word is, stewards of the property. We not give it away. We want people, God knows our hearts. But the other scripture that I wanted to share with you, God is doing a work in us spiritually through all of this. And the other scripture was 1 Peter, let me just find it. And it's similar to the other one, except I got to share with you because it's so important. I'm trying to find it as fast as I can, huh? 1 Peter. That the trial of your faith being more precious than gold that will perish. So God's comparing this trial we are in to gold that will perish. Who thinks of a trial being more precious than a pile of gold? But what it's producing in Mike and I is what's so precious, because it's making us depend on him more and more. It's causing us to put him in the place he's supposed to be in our lives. And I have to tell you, we feel so free in the fact that we are out of debt. Because every week before that, it was like, what do we do? But we always tithed. God got his. Now, let me just say one other thing. When that all happened, you guys all came to our aid, and you helped us with some money, and you helped us with your time, and we just were overwhelmed with your love and what God was doing. But God came through in other ways, too, that were so unexpected. Money he got unexpectedly from his union, unexpectedly from people that we had. I had people I had taught years and years ago that heard I was in trouble and sent, I'm not talking pennies, hundreds of dollars. It was thousands of dollars, over 10,000 altogether. And everything we got, God said, pay your debts, pay your debts, pay your debts. And we even paid off his car, which we owed over $8,000 on. And it was like the windows of heaven opened, and God poured us out that blessing at the time we needed it the most. We had nobody else to depend on but him. So all I can tell you is great is his faithfulness, because, and we were recently in Smithsville, and I was in this little store, and there was a sign like that you can hang up, was made of wood, and it just said, "Great is thy faithfulness. All I have needed," it started out, "All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto thee." And God wants us to be free. He wants us to be out of debt. So all I can tell you is it started with a little prayer, and it started with being obedient, starting somewhere, and God did the rest. Amen. And I know I didn't let you talk.
Said everything.
Amen. What the world and nature meant for evil, God turned for good in his faithfulness when we are faithful. So, Maria, would you like to come on?
Okay. I'm humbled to be here in the presence of these beautiful, godly women and men. And the Lord has been teaching me a lot of lessons. I have so many lessons, but I just want to focus on the lessons on healing and deliverance. It's a hot topic for me. He's been putting a lot of books and literature and a lot of things about healing and deliverance. So I'm gonna have three points to make, actually. So the lessons, the first thing is that we need to be the reality of demonic activity, so we know that the enemy is there, right? So we have to be aware of that to know how to protect ourselves from the enemy. But God makes supernatural provisions for deliverance, so we can be delivered. We need to maintain deliverance by discipline, application of scripture. So of course, read the word, his word every day, so we can use it to set ourselves free. And I picked Romans 8:15, "For you did not receive spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. Out you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father." So he didn't give us spirit of fear, and I used to be deadly afraid to be in front of people speaking. And I feel that he's setting me free from being in front of people and being able to speak in front of people. So that's one of my testimonies, right, that I'm able to be set free from that, because he did not give me that spirit of fear, right? The conditions we need to meet, okay, so we don't open any doors, right? How do we open doors? By sinning, right? So the first thing we have to do is to repent. So every day we need to repent, because no matter what, you know, we're human and we have to repent daily, right? And we need to look only to Jesus. He alone is the deliverer. He's the one that's going to set us free. Base your appeal solely on what Jesus did for you through his death on the cross. Be sure that by an act of your will, you have forgiven every person who ever harmed you. So it's not, we need to forgive, repent, and then forgive everyone, right? So even every day, like someone cuts in front of you when you're driving and you say, "I forgive you and I bless you." That's what I'm not going to get mad. Or when someone says something, "I forgive you and I bless you," instead of, you know, dwelling and, "Oh, I'm so mad because this person did that," right? So that's right there. Daily, right? So we're not going to open doors, because then you have that whatever, you know, it's trying to affect us in our daily walk with God. Okay, so then after that, I mean, this is really short, because it's really long, but I try to condense. So deliverance, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Joel 2:32. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Psalm 34:1. So since he showed me this, you know, I've been able to bind, you know, about Matthew 18:18, binding and casting out, you know, any demonic activities. So which is like is around us trying to attack, you know, the godly, the ones that are filled with the Spirit. So we know we have the weapon, and as Maureen was saying, that we have the armor of God. So we need to use it, you know, use the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, the whole thing. You know? So that's one thing, and prayer along, the power of prayer. So thank you for this opportunity.
There is an enemy that does not want us to succeed. He does not want us to grow in the Lord. And, you know, speaking of demonic oppression, those of you who've been on this journey with us in the last few months, you know, as a church, we've been battling a spirit of infirmity and sickness as a church. We've been battling the spirit of Jezebel, which is a controlling spirit as a church. We've been battling the spirit of Ahab, which is an apathetic spirit, where you just let this controlling spirit run amok. And I have to confess that. That was me. I was battling that. I'll be the first to tell you. We've been battling a spirit of depression. We've been battling a spirit of rebellion. We've been battling all kinds of spiritual distractions and division, a spirit of division. So we've been battling a lot of things, but in the name of the Lord, we've had victory after victory. And what Lord showed us many months ago, the way to battle these spirits is to quench them with our praise, our love, His word, His presence. And His presence comes alive in our praise. So they come hard, we praise harder. We worship harder. So in our lives personally and as a church. So we praise God for that. So right now, if there's anyone else who would like to share a testimonial lesson that the Lord has shown them, we want to give you an opportunity to. So you're welcome to.
So I had something I would have said. I didn't really have time to write it all down, but I got the gist of it, so. Okay. Yeah, well, can you hear me? Oh, the recording. Okay. Well, this was right before I left school. It was about 3 months ago, almost 4 months ago. This is the last thing that God showed me, the final week. And while I was in school, I had these two prayers for a year and a half over and over again. And they were, God, I want to see you, and God, I want to serve you. And I didn't get the prayer fulfilled in the way that I had desired. And I can, over and over, God, I want to see you, God, I want to serve you. And last week, I got a different kind of answer than I expected. And the answer was, we as men and women are made in the image of God. So God showed me Genesis 32. And that is where Jacob, and he sees the actual face of God. And then the very next chapter, he sees Esau, and he tells him, seeing your face is as seeing the face of God. And so the answer right there to my first prayer was, God, I want to see you. And I look around every day, and I see people identical to God. They have the same spirit, the same makeup, the same flesh that Jesus wore identically. And so we have this prayer, we want something great, and we don't actually realize the gems that are sitting in our lives every day. And so we just undervalue what's already there, expecting more. But we've already got something, we just don't know how to appreciate it. And then the second prayer, God, I want to serve you. And I did have a lot more, but this is all I can come up with for now. It was Matthew 25, 34 through 40. And this is, I have it pulled up. Wait a second. 1 second. 34, it says, then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And then the righteous will all answer saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? And they go through this whole list, like, I didn't do any of that to you. I didn't feed you, I didn't visit you, I didn't clothe you. And he says, the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to the one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. And so the same answer, God, how do I see you? And I'm looking at people in the image of God. The same answer, God, how do I serve you? I don't want to have to go into a trance and worship you in heaven. I can just sit here and serve people. And the way that we serve people is the way that we serve God. And when we get that understanding, we don't have to cry out for more. We look, and there's so much service every single day, doing the dishes, you know, helping Victoria. She doesn't have to do the dishes. My mom doesn't do it. And that serving God, do everything unto God. And that was a big answer that I got, and it held me very content when I left school. So, here's my revelation.
We have time for one more brief lesson learned, if anyone feels led to. No? Okay. That's all right. I do want to share something with you. If I were to have given you a message today, this is what it kind of would be. So I'm going to condense it in like 60 seconds. And I'm going to condense it to a question. What's your name? What is your name? Amen. Mm-hmm. That's who we are to God. But let's think about it a little closer. What the Lord spoke to me this week is, you read every name in the Bible. Even our names now mean something. And any person who's come into contact with the presence of God had their name changed in the Bible, if you think about it. And your names meant something back then. Your name represented a character quality of who you are. When, you know, Jesus said, you are no longer Cephas, you're Peter, the rock. Your foundation. You look at Abraham and Sarah. They used to be Sarai. And we can jokingly, you know, we've heard it said, he took the I out of Sarah and put the Holy Spirit into her. He changed her name. He took the Abram, he put the Abraham when the Holy Spirit came and they encountered God. So it made me think, our name needs to reflect who we are new in Christ. So again, my question is, what is your name? What is your name as a new person in Christ? Or are you still reflecting the character qualities of your old name? Because as a new creation, we are to walk differently, we are to be differently, we are to think differently, we're to love differently, we're to just treat others differently. Our worship of God is different because we've been given our new name. And I almost guarantee you, that name, when I accepted the Lord in my heart and my name was written in the book of the Lamb, my new name was written on. It was the spelling of my new name that God gave me, what God sees in me. So I encourage you to ask the Lord this week, Lord, as I'm walking and growing in you, what is my new name? What is my name? What is the name that you call me by? Not mom and dad or anyone else. But what is the name that you know me as? And you're going to see something beautiful when he reveals that to you. Amen? Thank you all for blessing us this morning. Thank you for speaking into our lives this morning and edifying this body. Would you rise with me and let's close in prayer and give God the glory? And I do want to ask if Diana and Mike...